With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All righty, hour number three, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network on this Friday. Across the country, coast to coast, nationwide, every single day, Monday through Friday. Appreciate you hanging with us. 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific. 855-212-4227. Also at Tiki and Tierney on Twitter, at Brandon Tierney. And we're coming to you live from our Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. So, big hour coming up. We'll circle back to the golf and what Tiger Woods. I've actually got a couple of numbers, at least a number what I think he needs to drop tomorrow to give himself a chance to really enter Sunday, to really make some noise. Because there's so many people he's got. I think he's 28th or 20. No, he's 27th right now. So while he's even par, and he's done a nice job avoiding the wrong side of par here for the first 2 days, if he comes out and he's like a 69 on Saturday, ain't going to cut it because he'd have to go solo on Sunday, and I don't think the conditions will yield that based on the course itself and also the conditions that Carnoustie is expecting. So, we'll do a little bit of that. James Harrison as well. We'll do this coming up, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes or so. Kind of went hard on Mike Tomlin, and the mounting criticism on Tomlin is really hard to ignore at this point. We'll hit that, and we'll get some calls too, as I said, 855-212-4227. So last night, we had the Cubbies and the Cards. Today, full slate of baseball. Baseball is back. The second half, which you know I love. And let's talk shop. David Sampson, who I've never spoken to before. Looking forward to it. Former Miami Marlins team president. Also MLB analyst with CBS Sports HQ. So you see him on that all the time. David, welcome to the show. What's happening, buddy? How are you?
Hey, thank you very much. I'm great. Thanks for having me on this Friday afternoon, right at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, it's a good time. Happy hour. Did you open a beer, or what are you doing here?
I'm waiting for the segment to end, but it is ready to roll.
Nice.
So no
I like
more
that.
Commercial live reads.
Okay. Well, listen, we're the kind of show. You can just open it now, and you can enjoy it now. That's how we roll here. Second half, before we get to – I have a lot of things I want to throw at you here. Grading – in totality, the prospects the Orioles got back, how long they waited to deal, the lack of real negotiations maybe before that could have prevented this. What do you think, what kind of grade would you give the Orioles just the way they handled this Machado situation?
So there's so much going on when you have a free agent superstar who's going to be a free agent with 3 months to go and your team absolutely stinks. Right, you have to move him because otherwise you're only going to get back an extra draft pick. So then you go around and you have to see who are the teams who are willing to pay the whole $6.3 million for Machado for 3 months. So that then lowers the universe of teams. Then you get it lowered down even more to who's got prospects in their system who are willing to trade to the Orioles and that you want. So really at the end of the day, trading Machado is not as easy as you think. And the market is not as big as you think because there was such a difference between what the Orioles wanted and what they were offered.
Yeah.
They ended up with bulk. In baseball, bulk can be good. And it's interesting because the trade you saw yesterday with the Indians was the opposite of bulk.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The A.J. Preller got one player back who he wanted, the catching prospect, whereas Dan Duquette went for five players. Why the difference when Machado's going to be a free agent, but Hand – And the other bullpen arm, whose name escapes me, is they have 2 or 3 years of signed control left.
Mm-hmm.
So you get way more back when you're trading a player who's got control left. So the Dodgers were in the driver's seat. They gave a nice prospect in Diaz, very sexy because he had two homers in the Futures game. And the rest are just guys. Is there a chance that two of them could hit and actually be big leaguers? There is. But for me, the Oriole trade, it's a solid B. It's right down the middle because if Diaz is a superstar, then they get a click up. If Machado ends up not doing well for the Dodgers, they get a click up. But if the Dodgers win the World Series the way we did in 2003 when we traded Adrian Gonzalez for Ugueth Urbina, no matter that Adrian Gonzalez had a great career, we get an A for that trade because Urbina led us to the World Series and a victory.
Yeah.
The Dodgers win. The Dodgers win that trade.
You beat my boys in the process. So is that why, listen, is that why Jeter came in a little icy towards you because you beat him back in 03?
I would say that there's so many reasons for ice that it's hard to know. But it was nothing but great times with Derek when he was negotiating to buy the team. Mm. I enjoyed my time with him, and I'm looking forward to the Marlins continuing their process.
Okay. Okay, that's classy. I got you. David Sampson with us here, former Marlins team pres, CBS Sports HQ, MLB analyst. You know, you mentioned the catching prospect, Francisco Mejia. I was doing some research on this yesterday, David. It's amazing. Of the top 50 prospects, granted it's subjective, it's not always right, but of the top 50 prospects right now in baseball, there's only two catchers. Mejia is one of them. I know he's played a little bit of outfield, maybe a game or two of third base. But when I looked at his physical stature, 5'10", 170 pounds, that's a small catcher. Is he going to wind up playing there for good in the bigs?
It's unlikely, but hey, Pudge was really small as well.
Yeah, but Pudge is unique. So Pudge is,
well,
he's Pudge, one of the generation. I mean, come on.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But it is very difficult to find good catching, which is why the Marlins have such a good asset with JT Realmuto, why it's so noteworthy when Salvador Perez and Yadier Molina have the type of lengthy careers they've had with success for their organization. It's the hardest position. In 18 years running a baseball team, every year it seems we were struggling for catching. And one year you get Pudge and you think you're great. You've got Realmuto on the system and you think you're going to be fine. And then it actually pans out.
Yeah.
Most prospects just don't pan out, period.
It's true. I mean, a lot of the hitters can't hit the deuce, so they can't hit the changeup. A lot of the pitchers who are highly rated when they're young, they might throw cheese, 99. Now everybody throws 98, it seems. But they don't have a secondary pitch or they can't hit the zone. They can't command a fastball. It's amazing. Just the jump from even really from A ball to double A. I don't think, listen, I know every sport clearly is hard, David, but I don't think like the average fan, maybe they do, maybe I'm not giving them enough credit, realizes just how hard it is to try to hit a baseball at that level, to try to throw a baseball past great hitters.
You're right.
Baseball's hard, man.
You know, it's funny. I would say you missed one thing, and that's makeup.
Okay.
That is something that stops a lot of players from succeeding.
Hmm.
You can have a lot of stuff and have a great arm, great fielding if you're a position player, great ability to hit the deuce, as you say.
Yep.
But if you don't have the right makeup, baseball is a game of failure in such a significant way. Think about the insanity of shooting 30% in the NBA and being one of the best players in the league.
Yeah.
It's just not how it goes.
Yep.
And in baseball, obviously, 3 out of 10. So it's just a fascinating game to watch these guys develop. And it is a game. You know, we use psychologists and we use analytics and we use IQ testing and this and that. But at the end of the day, you've got to stare down, right, a pitcher if you're a position player at the plate, and we need to see it. We need to see what it's like when you're standing there facing Mariano Rivera in the ninth inning with the tying run at third and one out and what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how you learn a lot about a player.
I like it. David Sampson, CBS Sports HQ, MLB analyst, former Marlins president. You know, there's a lot of talk around, certainly in New York, and that's where we are, even though we're a national show. Our studio's in Lower Manhattan. And I check in, obviously, local radio coming in here and there and even going home on a case. And a lot of the conversation is about, you know, do the Mets, should they trade DeGrom? Will they trade DeGrom? Should they trade Syndergaard? Will they? Listen, we'll get an answer on that. But I got to tell you, maybe within the last month, an ex-Met has become pretty viable. And that, again, and that's Matt Harvey. If your team, like the Yankees, even the Red Sox on the back end, the Brewers, if you're a team that needs an arm down the stretch, right? Do you think Matt Harvey, if you gave him 10 starts from here until October and beyond, is he ready to start getting big outs again, or are you not yet sold? Because he's been pretty good the past month.
Yeah, it depends on the market. If I'm a market that has a bar time of 10 p.m. And an absence of that sort of life post-game,
yeah.
I think Milwaukee is a great example of where someone can go and thrive. I wouldn't bring him back if I were the Yankees. I think that he would shrivel up.
Wow.
It is very different getting outs for a team that doesn't matter versus getting outs for a team where the outs do matter.
Yeah.
It's very hard as an evaluator in September. One of the things you learn is you don't evaluate players in March or September. because there's just, it's very difficult to do that. And because in September, if you're playing with nothing to play for, you're really just playing for yourself and your stats and your arbitration. So it's harder really to evaluate what you have. And obviously spring training, you know about. So for Matt Harvey, I'm not convinced that he can handle off the field distractions.
I'm not either, but let me get this back here because I'm with you on getting meaningful outs. You're right. Kid comes up in September, hits 320. Then you see him in April, and he's 2 for 30. He's back in the minors, and same with pitchers, obviously. But what I don't understand, and I hear you on Harvey. Trust me, I live in the area, as I said. It was a mess with Matt Harvey, a lot messier than it was even reported, as you know. But I don't see what the, like, if you're in New York or L.A., yeah, bars are open all night. Yeah, there's clubs open all night. Yeah, there's other clubs that aren't really even clubs that are disguised as not clubs, but you can still go to. But what's the difference, David? If you're in Milwaukee or Cincinnati and you have a propensity to drink and party, you could still go back to your hotel room with three girls and three bottles of whiskey. I mean, it doesn't mean that you're sleeping. You know what I mean?
No, I do, and obviously I've been to every road city with the team, and so I've seen how they act. There are some cities that are called rest cities, and the players go there to just sort of go to bed early, maybe get a few drinks after the game in their room,
yep.
Do whatever they're going to do, but it's very different when you're in New York or L.A. or some of the other great road cities. It just is. So I don't compare going back to your room with however many people you go back with,
yep.
However many bottles you go back with. I don't compare that to the distraction of New York or L.A. or other cities.
I got you. I just wanted to bring that back to you. What about the NL East here? I think the Nats get on a little run. I really love the Braves roster. I think the Phillies wilt. Am I selling the Phillies short?
No, I just don't think everyone's selling the season short. There's a long way to go. I've been on the Nats bandwagon, as painful as it is being an NL East guy, at least until recently. I think the Nats come back and win that division
yeah.
and have a nice playoff run. I'm very interested. They need Strasburg to come back starting tonight, and they need to start believing that these games matter. The only thing that worries me about the Nationals is if they're the 2005 Marlins, where we were good and supposed to make the playoffs, and we just didn't play well, but we always said Mañana will start to play. Mañana, it's going to get better. And Mañana never came, and all of a sudden we were home in October.
Yeah.
And the Nationals talk like that a little bit. They say, oh, we're fine. We'll turn this around. We'll get it going tomorrow. No, they got to get it going today.
Well, how much of that lackadaisical approach do you pin on the manager?
I don't put much on the manager. Being a manager these days is more like being a psychologist for all the things going on off the field and being a conduit to the front office and all the information that's coming down from the front office and applying that on the field. I think that, being a manager has really changed. You know, players aren't hanging out after games and having beers and talking about the game.
Yeah.
They're getting dressed quickly and leaving the clubhouse immediately. 25 guys, 25 cabs type of thing. Mm. That used to be the anomaly back in the day with the Bronx Zoo, let's say,
yeah.
or with the 86 Mets. But yeah. now it's much, much more common. So I think that, you know, Dave Martinez has done a fine job. Everyone's talking about Alex Cora. I'm really happy for him. But by the way, could the Red Sox have anything go better than it went in the first half?
Not really.
Anything at all. I can't even think of one. So I loved his comments that he – hopes that, you know, there's a lot more to improve and better play to come. Maybe he's right, but I don't know. Are they going to beat the best record in history by that much? It seems a little far-fetched. So.
Yeah.
And is he the best manager? Is he that much better than Mickey Callaway? No, the roster is that much better than the Mets roster.
No, Callaway's got nothing. I think we all know that. David Sampson, CBS Sports HQ, Atlas MLB, doing a good job. I'm liking this the spot here so far. Former Marlins team president. Nice debut on Tiki and Tierney. All right, so we hit the Nationals here. Let's finish up with Bryce Harper. You know, we've been talking about getting to this point now for a couple of years, and the contract's going to start with the number 4, and he might go to the Yankees, or he might go here. Obviously, the Yankees getting Stanton kind of changes things a bit. Contractually, do you still believe that his number starts with a 4? And are you convinced that he's going to get a lot better as a player? He's got a lot of holes in his swing.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to the guy who gave Stanton the 3, right?
Yep.
So I totally understand what's at stake. Harper and Machado were young. It's unheard of that they're going into free agency with a 2 handle, 25. And Harper can get a 10-year deal because he's still going to be good at 35. The question on everyone's mind is any player worth $40 million per year when there's so many good young players around is the incremental difference between Bryce Harper and Juan Soto on the Nationals so significant that you'll pay one $500,000 and one $40 million. There's no economic principle. He doesn't bring in fans to merit $40 million. Nobody does in baseball to merit what they make. Salaries are so big now, but teams are doing okay. There is money to spend, and there's the feeling that an owner gets who doesn't have a ring that, oh, my God, I've got to get a ring before I die. And then once you have a ring, the owner says, oh, my God, I want to be even more different than my fellow owners. I want to get a second ring. So all you need for Bryce Harper to have a four handle is for two owners to succumb to Scott Boras's pleadings that his player's the difference maker for jewelry. And that's Boras's MO, and it cuts right into the heart of what owners want to hear. So I think it is definitely possible.
David Sampson, great spot, buddy. We'll be calling you again, get you back up, no doubt.
I look forward to it. Have a great day and a great weekend.
No doubt, you do the same. Thank you very much. David Sampson, former Marlins president and CBS Sports HQ MLB analyst. I'd have to say that was a pretty nice debut, don't you think, D-Cell? That was strong. He's got opinions, you know. He wasn't shy about Harvey out late, and that was good.
I told you you'd like him.
Yeah, you were right. Good instincts. Good book right there. Attaboy. All right, coming up next, a little more shade for Mike Tomlin. Is it really justified? Starting to add up. We'll get to it coming up. Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news, everybody. Quick way to save money. Just switch over to Geico. Whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. I enjoy that spot with David Sampson. He's really good. He is really good. We're going to keep him in the rotation. Use him throughout the summer and October for baseball. I love opinionated people. And I love the fact that he's got that front office background. So he's coming in there with the intel of the inner workings of baseball, but he's not afraid to say what's on his mind. That's good. All right. This was really good as well. I want to play something for you. This will lead us into the comments by James Harrison about Mike Tomlin, the Steelers head coach, getting a lot of shade lately. Now, while Teague and I had the great Terry Bradshaw on our show several times, but we had him, I think most recently, back in December. And listen to what he said about Coach Tomlin right here on Tiki and Tierney. What is your main criticism of Mike Tomlin? Do you still view him as just a cheerleader or no?
I give him no thought.
Wow.
I do not see him on the sideline and think cheerleader. I see him as the head coach, and I give him no thought. He does not cross my mind. I have absolutely no opinion of him. I probably shouldn't have said cheerleader, but I did, so I stand by it. If he doesn't like me, I could care less.
I gotta love Bradshaw. Just keep this guy on TV forever, will you? Terry Bradshaw. That was obviously a follow-up to a comment that he made about Tomlin, which obviously had us chase him down, get him on the show, and ask him about it, and he called him a cheerleader. So we followed up, and that was his response there. Wow. Okay, so now we have James Harrison. And, I mean, listen, this is not exactly splitting the atom when he says that Bill Belichick's a better head coach than Mike Tomlin. Bill Belichick's a better coach probably than anybody that's ever coached any sport in the history of sport. I mean, maybe Lombardi, maybe. I mean, maybe throw out an old Yankee manager, Miller Huggins. I don't know. I mean, maybe. Is there an old Canadians coach? Maybe. Newt Rockne? I don't know. I mean, he's there. He's there. He's on that list. But, you know, then he went a little deeper. And some of the comments I don't get, but I'm not surprised. To paraphrase, he basically said he's got to get a little more disciplined here. And that's always kind of been the knock on Tomlin. Too loose of a ship. I mean, the fact that Antonio Brown felt the freedom to, you know, open up his phone and just go Facebook Live, what was that, 2 years ago after a playoff game, without any fear of any repercussions, tells you that, you know, he's not exactly, not scared. I mean, that's not the word you would use for a pro athlete to his head coach, but certainly mindful and aware that the head coach might be cool with that. I mean, I'm sure Popovich and Pat Riley, when he was coaching, I would think that there would just be an inherent awareness within the team not to do something like that. And even before social media, at least pertaining to Pat Riley, to, you know, break away too cavalierly from the team concept, whether it's on the court or in the media. Just the great ones demand that respect. I don't think Mike Tomlin's great by any stretch, but I also don't think he's a scrub at all, like some perceive him or position him to be. But I also do think that Mike Tomlin has, you know, has been the beneficiary of some incredibly favorable circumstances, one of which is the division in which he's coached. I mean, think about this. And I guess you could say this applies to Belichick to a certain degree as well, although Brady's had Belichick's had a lot more success than Tomlin, so that's kind of nullified a bit in terms of Super Bowl stuff. But because, you know, the Jets have never had a quarterback, the Bills have never had a quarterback, the Dolphins have never had a quarterback, it really hasn't been a tightly contested division. Look at what Tomlin's dealt with, really, since what was his first year, 07? That sounds about right. Just double-check that, D-Cell. I think it was 07. I'm pretty sure it was 2007 when Cowher stepped down. The Steelers, the Ravens, the Bengals, and the Browns. All right, the Browns are finally taking a step in the right direction. But and I really think the Browns, it was 07. It was 07. Thank you, Mike. Where's it going? What did I call you?
Mike, but I'm not offended by it.
I'm used to calling Santa there.
Have it.
Thank you, Tommy D-Cell. The Browns have been, they haven't even been a good college team for a decade. That's changing. So you get two wins every year because you play the Browns. The Ravens have kind of really melted away since, you know, the championship, the one championship for Flacco, roster attrition. You know, Flacco hasn't been that good. Each year a little less competitive, a little less threatening. And the Bengals, I mean, Marvin Lewis is 0-7, 0-8, 0-7. I know he's 0. Whatever it is, he's got no wins in the playoffs. And Andy Dalton, I think Andy Dalton is unfairly knocked. He's certainly not a scrub. But you're not afraid of Andy Dalton. You're not afraid of Andy Dalton at all. So every year, as long as the Steelers with Big Ben, and then you look at the talent that Tomlin's got. Big Ben, Hall of Famer. Antonio Brown, Hall of Famer. Le'Veon Bell, Hall of Fame track. So, I don't know. The answer is probably somewhere in the middle. I think a lot of the criticism that Tomlin gets is justified. I don't think he's a great coach. And I do think he's got something to prove this season. I really do. Despite four straight double-digit win seasons. I mean, that alone tells you that, you know, you're pretty good. We're kind of nitpicking here. But there's been enough noise around Tomlin that suggests he's kind of along for the ride as much as he is leading the car. You know what I mean? So I can't say Harrison's wrong. I don't like the way Bradshaw positioned that. I thought that was unfair. I thought that was a little bit rude, a little unnecessary, and quite frankly, a little disrespectful, maybe even a little jealous. Like, I don't know what. Now, I love Bradshaw as a personality, but there's some disconnect between Bradshaw and Tomlin. And it's obvious. There's a personality conflict. Doesn't like him. So, you know, you're not going to call a guy who's got champion, a World Series, a Super Bowl championship, a cheerleader, unless you just don't like him. And I thought that was utterly unfair. But the answer's probably somewhere in between. Act, before we get the update,
yeah.
You know, we always rank quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you throw Tomlin, without giving it too much thought, if you were to rank him numerically somewhere, you know, one through...
You said Tomlin.
Tomlin. Where would you rank... Well, I was just giving the example, like, yeah, quarterbacks. We always do quarterbacks.
Oh, as a coach.
Now
okay,
I want you to do quarterbacks. Okay. Because we don't do this with head coaches too much. We usually do it with quarterbacks. Where would you rank him? Like, what number? We know he's not one. We know he's not dead last.
You'd have to put him in the upper third, that's for sure.
So you put him somewhere inside the top 12?
He's had consistent success.
Yes.
And he's won a Super Bowl.
He has.
You know, and he's and been
he
lost to another,
and he got and to another one, yeah. 2010. So
I think that's gotta be, you know, I'd have to really think about it because when you obviously the first guy that comes to mind is Belichick.
Yep.
And you know, because there's also been so much turnover too. In recent years,
Pete Carroll's been a better coach. No problem saying that. I think Pete's been a better coach. I think I'm looking at the teams now. Make sure we don't miss anybody.
Andy Reid is in that bunch. I mean, obviously he gets criticized, but he's had a lot of success too.
He has, and, but not enough when he needs it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying maybe he wouldn't not.
Zimmer.
Yeah.
I think Zimmer's a really good. Now, he's got to do it a few more years, but Zimmer's a really good coach.
I agree. I feel the same way about that.
I think Doug Marrone's a really good coach, but I think he's got to get some more on his resume. Sean Payton's terrific.
You know,
especially with the renaissance this year. He needed to prove a little something.
Yep, no question.
Back-to-back 7-9 seasons, I think they had?
Mm-hmm.
You could also we'll see what Gruden has this time around.
Not as much of a foundation or success as the other guys, but you'd have to put Ron Rivera in there. Took over a team that didn't have much, got them to a Super Bowl, has had them in the playoffs. You definitely would have to put him, you know, especially too, considering the way, you know, Peyton's in that division and the Falcons had gone to the conference championship and, you know, Rivera's kind of navigated that water. I think he deserves to be in that conversation.
You know, it's funny. I would not have even thrown Rivera's name in there unintentionally, just kind of would have glossed over him.
You know, you do kind of gloss over because it's, you know, it's a small market.
But in the NFL, market size doesn't matter. No, it's not like it's the A's and the Rays or the Twins.
But the Panthers sort of get overlooked a little because, you know, they're a younger franchise. They, you know, they've been up and down in years. So, you know, it's like
The Jaguars. They're a young franchise.
Yeah. But I think, you know, the names we threw out, you know, Reed has been around.
Yep.
And the Chiefs obviously are always in the spotlight. You know, and before that with the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you also have the Steelers, the Cowboys. We thought of with Jason Garrett. You know,
can't say Garrett's a better coach than Mike Tomlin. There's no way I can say that.
But I think he's
that's so unfair to Mike.
I think he's in the conversation of the top third.
Jason Garrett?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to go 8-8 every year, yeah, he's your guy. I mean, go 9-7. Throw get the champagne.
You said the top 10, top 12.
I hear you. I mean, what about? Let's see. Too early for Peterson. Jay Gruden not there. Gase,
why am I blanking? He only won the Super Bowl. Doug Peterson.
Yeah, no, I know.
I know it's quick, but
well, because Peterson, that narrative changed kind of quick.
Yeah,
I mean, it went from to whoa, this guy's pretty good. Bruce Arians retired. He was up there for sure.
Yep.
Let's see. I think we're missing one really good one. Let me just look at these teams. Hang on.
This time of the year because you're not conditioned.
I know,
conditioned.
I hear you. I got
there's
you.
Some rust there.
No, I hear you. I mean, we're starting to talk football again. It's like batting practice.
Yes.
Vrabel's new. Marone's been, you know, with Jacksonville. The Texans. I'm not going to say Billy O'Brien. We said Sean Payton. We said Rivera. Not the Bucks. I like Zimmer. McCarthy. That's the one I was searching for.
Yeah.
McCarthy's got a Super Bowl. He's got the one like Tomlin.
A lot of consistent success, too.
A lot of consistency. A lot of playoff shortcomings, though.
Yep.
Now, in defense of McCarthy, he doesn't have the weaponry that Tomlin has every year. He's got Rodgers.
Yeah, that's it.
But he does not have
–
I mean, Mike Tomlin trots out.
Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown.
In terms of quarterback, wide receiver, running back tandem, probably the best trio in football.
Yep. And they've had good. And they've had good players on D, too.
And they've been healthy, those three guys, as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so get the mind conditioned to talk football again. Always
it's like
down
the
with
warm
that.
Up.
Love it, love it. Axe update coming at you right now. Here's Rich.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, we'll finish up a little golf here. We'll get to the blast as well. First up, though, we'll answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. I like this question. This is a good one. Stevie in Missouri. So Stevie just wrote us. If the Browns get off to a slow start this season, how many games does Hugh Jackson deserve to coach? Good question. Good question. I'll tell you, I think the third game is very pivotal for him because he starts out, he's playing the Steelers. You can't expect the Browns to beat the Steelers in week one. Then they go to New Orleans, tough place to play, good Saints team. Listen, it's the NFL, so you never know, but you're probably 0-2. If you don't beat the Jets at home on a Thursday night game that's isolated for the whole nation to see, I don't know if he'd get fired after that. I'm not even saying that he should. I'd have to see how competitive the games are, who's playing quarterback. Is it Baker or no? Oh, it's going to be Tyrod Taylor, but how's Tyrod playing, I should say. Because after that, then you go to at the Raiders, the Ravens, the Chargers. God, their schedule's tough. And I like them to win some games, but that could be an issue. All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Now, the one thing keep in mind, Todd Haley's on the staff. So don't think for a second that was twofold. let's get him in here to bolster our offense as our OC. And if things don't change under Hugh Jackson, we can make a seamless transition. But usually when you make with somebody who has experience, but usually in the NFL, whether it's a quarterback switch or a coaching change, generally, certainly with a quarterback switch, but even with coaching changes, you try to get to the bye week, you know, get yourself a chance to breathe here. But the Browns don't have a bye week until week 11. It's kind of late. So if they're like 2-6, and by the way, if they're 2-6, as terrible as that sounds, that's double the win total that Hugh Jackson's had 2 years. Oh, my God. I'll tell you what. It just tells you how highly he's thought of. And, you know, Hugh's a really good offensive mind. Eventually, you got to start winning some games here. If it's anybody else, you're out. He's gone. To withstand and the new general manager who's coming in to evaluate, who's coming from a winning situation in Kansas City, to retain him, it says he's got a little belief that he thinks he could do the job. But again, Todd Haley, Kansas City roots before that, with the Steelers, week 11. Man, their schedule, I don't see a lot of wins here, D-So. I mean, the whole win-loss game is boring. I get it. But Pittsburgh at New Orleans Jets. At the Jets, are the game you should win. At the Raiders, although no guarantee they will. At the Raiders, home to the Ravens. The Ravens are, first of all, they're well-coached, so you know they'll show up to play. Then you got the Chargers coming in, who are going to be really good. At Tampa, Jameis Winston will be back. They're, you know, they got talent. I don't know if they're going to get their act together. At Pittsburgh, home to the Chiefs, and then home to Atlanta. And you'd have to think that Sarkisian and Matt Ryan will be more on the same page this year in year number two. I mean, 10 games in, as much as – I mean, I've been leading the Browns bandwagon for a while. Would you be stunned if they're 2-8 with those games? Might have to walk back that 8-8 prediction, D-Cell. I don't know.
No more dynasty?
Shut up. You ready for a little blast? Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right. With the Orioles trading Manny Machado for 5 prospects, they should continue the rebuild and trade Mark Trumbo and Adam Jones.
I mean, I don't think you're going to get a whole lot for Trumbo. You get a little bit more for Jones for sure. The one thing you got to be careful about here, and it, like fundamentally and philosophically, I'm with a complete rebuild. But I also believe strongly in keeping one veteran around who can at least show the young kids how to strap it on and be a pro every day. You know, really just grind through the rigors, especially baseball, every single day at the ballpark, 8-9 hours. So, I mean, if you get a great offer, sure, you trade both of them. And you never know who's desperate with an injury or looking for a little pop down the stretch. I would keep one of them, though. I probably would keep one of them.
The Celtics,
you get rid of Chris Davis's contract. That's the one you should get.
They would love to do that.
Isn't that amazing? They gave Chris Davis all that money and they had to get rid of Machado. Chris Davis is hitting one. What is he hitting, 160? Wow.
The Celtics re-signed guard Marcus Smart to a 4-year, $52 million deal. Celtics overpay for Smart?
It's a lot of scratch for a guy who can't shoot, but you know what? I don't know that you can quantify heart. Well, I know that you can. Certainly not contractually. Watching the games, you could say, this guy's a bulldog. This guy's the spirit of the team. And Marcus Smart, he fits that. I mean, that is a guy that when you come out of the tunnel and they're going to be, you know, playing deep into May and quite possibly or probably into June, you want him on your side when you run out of the tunnel for a pivotal game on the road in the Eastern Conference Finals or semis or the NBA Finals. I'm a big Smart fan. It's a lot of money for a guy who can't shoot again, but he's worth it. That would have been really bad if they lost him. Smart move.
Jimmy Garoppolo goes on a...
Jimmy J!
Goes on a date...
Jimmy J!
...with adult film star Kiara Mia.
Who's next? Christy Canyon?
Wise move by Jimmy G?
No. I can't imagine... I haven't seen what she looks like in a while. Let me just, since Tiki's not here, I could take the full minute here. It's K, right? Kiara Mira. Let's see. She's 41, and what is Jimmy, 27? He's going older. Interesting, Jimmy. All right. I'm not going to get mad at you for that. I mean, certainly not my taste. No. This you know what this is utterly unnecessary. First of all, Garoppolo's a good-looking guy. So all he has to do is walk up to an attractive female and say, hey, would you like to go to dinner? I don't like this for a quarterback who's trying to become a franchise quarterback. That, all jokes aside, you know, the porn industry, forget about that. Focus on football, not dating porn stars. I'm not a big fan of this. And I can't imagine that Jed York and the 49ers are either.
Boston Red Sox players lead the AL in four major categories. Home runs, J.D. Martinez with 29.
Yep.
RBIs, J.D. Martinez with 80.
Mm.
Average, Mookie Betts, 359.
Wow.
And ERA, Chris Sale, 2.23. Which one of these is least likely to stand up for the rest of the season?
Good question. You put some thought into this. Attaboy, D-Cell. All right, so I'm going to go process of elimination. First of all, and he's great, and he's probably going to win the MVP. Mookie Betts is not hitting 360 this season. So that's not going to stand up. That's just going to drop based on the just on the game of baseball. All right, so that I crossed that off. Chris Sale's ERA is 2.23. At 170 pounds, he has shown a propensity to wither statistically. Last year, his ERA was almost 3.5 in the second half. I talked about that the other day. While he's still really good, he's not going to implode. He's not going to go 2-2-3 the rest of the year. So I'm down to Martinez in home runs and RBIs, and I think it's probably easier to keep up the RBI pace. So I would say that the one that's going to stand up, or least likely to stand up, I would say Mookie Betts is 359. Just had to run through them all. Just want to make sure I didn't miss anything. Good question, though.
Thank you.
Yeah.
From March till May, Nick Foles was a top merchandise seller in the NFL. Will he ever be a starter again?
Will he start a game with the Eagles if Wentz is not ready? Or do you mean will he ever go somewhere else and be a starter?
Will he
because
ever
that other team covets him?
Correct.
So it's the latter, that part.
Yeah.
You know, if he had a little bit of a different personality, I might say yeah. But remember, this guy almost retired from football. So I just think that, you know, he's such a humble, and they gave him a few bucks. They did the right thing. I think he's so humble and so at ease with where he is as a professional and the pecking order of the depth chart. Once Carson Wentz is healthy, I'm going to say no, because I think he's going to be okay with being a, you know, start until Wentz is healthy, and maybe that's week one or maybe not. And then just kind of be a backup and probably retire a lot earlier than we thought he would. So my answer is no. And not that he can't be, but I don't think he will be based on the way he seems to be programmed.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
D-Cell, do you know anything more about this? Like, how did Garoppolo, you know I had to get back to this. How did Garoppolo hook up with her? Like, did she reach out to him? Was this a social media thing? Was this, hey, my agent just reached out to your agent. Let's get together. What is the origin? How did they first meet? Jimmy Garoppolo.
I believe it was a social media thing, but I'm really not positive on that.
I don't get this. That is not. Let's see. I'm just looking at some of the names of movies that I can't even. I wouldn't even say on the show, but wow. All right, let's see. Garoppolo hits the town with adult star. Let's see, maybe this article has it here. Yeah, I don't have time to go through this, but
Mark Cuban did come out and say if he was with the 49ers, it would not bother him that Jimmy G was going out with an adult film star.
Cuban said that if he owned the Niners, it wouldn't bother him.
No big deal.
Yeah, well, good for Cuban. You know, Cuban also owns a team in a very different sport where, and I'm not saying that this is going to distract Garoppolo, please. I mean, I'm not saying that at all. I do think it's a little bit of poor judgment, to be very honest with you. I just, not to impugn the integrity of porn stars, I'm sure they're good people, but it's just not the look that you want from your franchise quarterback. Now, you know, whether it's a young Dirk or Dennis Smith now, these guys show up and they ball and they go home. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is living, in theory, at the headquarters in Santa Clara, just like Brady's living at the headquarters in Foxborough and Big Ben in Pittsburgh and Eli, you know, right up the road in East Rutherford. This is the way it works if you're a quarterback. No. All right, Tiger Woods. I think tomorrow, I don't know if he's going to. I think Tiger's got to shoot. I think he's got to shoot at least a 67 to have a chance. We'll see if he does. Have a great weekend. D-Cell, good work. Guys, good work behind the board. Everybody have an outstanding weekend. We will catch you Monday. Teek's back. Peace. Got to go.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.